Good morning. It's 6:27 on 7/22, July 22nd. Is that right? Yep, Sunday, July 22nd. I missed Save Fiction Day. Oh no, oh dear. Yesterday was the day we were all supposed to band together and read anything but 50 Shades of whatever. Yeah, not so much. Anyway, it's a gorgeous Sunday morning. There's a little bit of a breeze. There's some actual clouds. The picture this morning came out really nice, I thought. So that's cool. We're looking at the bulletproofing that's blocking the podcatcher. And yeah, it's tacked down. Real tough. Now, what I don't understand is what podcatchers do work and or why, since it doesn't look like anything except HTML or HTTP can get through, which was part of the design of the plugin. It was not necessarily part of my design. Ali is aghast that I opened the door on wget because hackers could steal my site. And I don't know quite how to get to the point that wget won't do anything that visiting each page won't do. And there aren't so many pages that anybody who wanted to steal my site would take more than 15 minutes to do so. So I'm not 100% sure what the value of that particular lock is. She characterized it as the most basic of security features. Perhaps. I have a couple security geeks in my friend pal feeds. I'll have to go have a little chat. Let's see. So yeah, I did put my feed into iTunes. The feed is not actually submitted to Apple, but it is in the iTunes, using the iTunes client as a podcatcher, and it does work. So that one works. I'm not sure what non-iTunes podcatchers people are using. I suspect the agent's breakdown in Google Analytics might tell me something. I'll have to take a look and see if I can find it. So that's an ongoing issue. Let's see if we can't figure out a way to get this fixed. A high-level HT access rule should do it. And then I could just move the directory out of the umbrella. I don't know. We'll have to see. There's got to be a way. So the other thing I'm thinking about this morning is what next? I've got, yesterday's day was an audio day. Today should be an audio day, but I've got a problem. And that's that it's also irrigation day. And I can't read while the irrigation system is running because it makes a noise in the pipes in the house, which is clearly audible when I try to record. So that might not work so well. I've got to get some more lines for Abby Hilton. I got most of what Dan Sawyer needed yesterday sent off to him. That was my 3 hours yesterday morning doing the editing. I did a brief read. But I I forgot and left my Nook unplugged. And the Nook unplugged loses its battery relatively quickly. So I charge it up overnight and it's ready to go. As soon as I have quiet where I can read. The problem, of course, is that if I don't start reading first thing in the morning, then what's going to have to happen is that we're going to have to start laundry. Once we start laundry, I can't read then either. And the laundry's a bit backed up, so the question is, do I write? Do I take a day off? I was looking at my calendar, and I haven't had a day off since the day I went to the dentist on July 5th. I've had a couple of days where I didn't actually get all 3 hours done, but every day I'd managed to do something. Either accomplish a task, or do the 3 hours, or whatever was necessary for that day. And my calendar shows that to me. So there's a certain part of me that says, you know, you've done good for 2 whole weeks. Perhaps today's the day you ought to take a little break. So maybe I'll do that. I don't know. I hate to break the chain. Good morning. I hate to break the chain. The question is, if I'm not going to read, but I need to write something, what will I write? Hermit of Lummis Wood is the obvious choice, since it picks up right where Zephyr's call leaves off. I'd really kind of like to let that world sit. Cape Grace comes to mind. But I also don't want to get too dug into a project that's really big, because I'm going to have to start tomorrow, for sure, tomorrow, reading aloud and incorporating the copy edit changes that have already started to come in into the story. And I apologize to Anita for not sending her a copy. I didn't ask, and I didn't want to assume. And then she smacked me yesterday and said, where the hell's mine? So, okay, I mailed it off. She's already sent me back a couple of chapters. Some of the chapter changes I won't be making. I haven't looked at hers yet, so I don't know if hers are any, but I've had a couple questions about words like lorry wagon, which in its literal technical sense is redundant. Because a lorry is a particular kind of wagon, and it has typically no sides. But this one does have very low sideboards. So, in theory, it's not a lorry. It's more of a wagon. It's more of a heavy cargo wagon that's being used as a lorry. And I realize that it's redundant. And so, part of the time I use just the word wagon, and sometimes I use the word lorry, and sometimes I use them both. And there isn't really a pattern, because we treat language that way when we talk in particular. And I always refer to it in dialogue. I very seldom ever refer to it in narration, although when I do, I usually call it lorry wagon, I think. I don't know. I have to check. I'll have to go find every instance of lorry and look. And then every instance of wagon. But we do the same thing when we talk about things like pickup truck. Sometimes we talk about the pickup. Sometimes we talk about the truck. Sometimes we say pickup truck. So I'm seeing this as really kind of the same construction. Sometimes we call it lorry. Sometimes we call it wagon. Sometimes we call it lorry wagon. It's interesting that copy editors have picked that up as a problem. And I wonder how often people look at those kinds of usages as errors in text. In fact, what they are is stylistic approaches. I know I have a problem with, as I think somebody, I can't remember his name now, pointed out, I have a problem with compound words. And they've already got one about quarrymen. One word, quarrymen, two words. I need to figure out which one I'm going to use and use it consistently. I can never keep it straight. It doesn't really matter. But people who read it think, oh, typo. The world has ended. I'm blown out of the story because here he uses quarrymen and here he uses quarrymen. Like, yeah, I suppose technically it should be quarrymen. One word. Seriously, if that boosts you out of the story, I'm not writing a good enough story. But it is a good point. I also get binged on commas. And the problem with, particularly in the books that I did for Ryden, the problem with Chicago Manual. Chicago Manual style doesn't use what everybody thinks of as the correct rules for commas. For example, if I use the word to, T-O-O, as in I want to go to, common usage is comma to. Chicago Manual says, no, you don't need a comma. But for a lot of people who learned comma to, I've just put a typo in. Oh dear. I just introduced a typo to my literary masterpiece. I should have gotten a better editor. Actually, it was my editor who took the comma out. So it's some interesting questions about what style to follow, and should you follow any? And if you follow one, then will you alienate the readers who know the rules of the other? And particularly these days, where you really have to outperform significantly mainstream press, or somebody's going to call you on it. I don't know that you can win. I think this is one of those, you do the best you can, you punt on the rest. The best you can. It isn't even the function of using an editor, because I've used multiple editors. And half the time I have to argue with Robin about some of the stuff that's in my book. And no, you can't change that. That's part of the story. The Captain's Cabin was one of the things that she started changing the name. And instead of calling it The Cabin, she was calling it My Cabin or The Captain's Stateroom. Now, the Captain doesn't live in a stateroom. The Captain lives in The Cabin. And it's The Cabin. Occasionally, you'll find a captain who does call it My Cabin. But that says more about the captain than it does about the usage. Because really it's the cabin. It's part of the ship, like the engine room. And while you will hear an engine man say, my engine room, it's the engine room. So, I don't know. Six one, half dozen of the other. And whichever one you do, you can't win, because there's always somebody who's going to want the other. Let's see what else. Too bad about New Media Expo. I would have liked to have gone to participate. I'm not going to go just for going, because I can't afford to go just to go. But I would have liked to have gone, except for their licensing terms. And it's a stupid one, because it's on the biography and photo. And what they ask for is the permission and ownership, basically, of every photograph of me that exists. And it's like, no, you can't have every photograph of me that exists. I will give you one that you can copyright for the use of this show, but no, you can't have every one that exists. So you have to change that paragraph, and they won't. So, okay, I'm not coming. And then, you know, it's like, well, we wouldn't. It's like, well, if you're not going to, then don't put it in. If it's in the contract and I sign it, I'm expecting you to enforce it. And if you're not going to enforce it, you have no intention of enforcing it, then get it out of the contract. But I'm not going to lay out blanket permission for anybody to copyright my Flickr stream and prevent me from using it. It's just dumb. And a lot of people are doing it because they're not reading the terms and they don't understand what the terms mean. But even authors don't understand what the terms mean, so I suppose. You'd think somebody whose livelihood depends on copyright would understand more about what the law is, how it works, what it means. Irrigation dampness here. Somebody's air conditioning already running this morning. Geez, I hope mine isn't. Yesterday was a hot day. It was like 97, 98. It wasn't bad. It didn't get into triple digits, but it was still pretty warm. Made chicken for supper. I was going to have salmon, but the salmon had gone off. I have to not buy quite as much salmon at a batch. But I could eat chicken. And my weigh-in this morning, I was down over a pound. So it's like, tedious. So I know it's not an official weigh-in, but it's like, come on. I think part of it is the sodium issue. One pound at my weight is one half of 1%, so it doesn't take much water retention to move my weight up or down a pound. Being dehydrated is not necessarily a helpful choice. So there's that. I hope this thing is still recording. I stuck it in my pocket when I started out. I'm assuming that it's still recording. I hate it when I get home and find out that A, it's not. B, it's probably something that I did. Shut it off. Yeah, well. It's a Sunday. It's a gorgeous day, too. That breeze feels so good. Just walking along, I built up a sweat. I got the breeze in my face now. Came around the corner facing north. Sun on my right hand. A few high puffy clouds. Obviously some sort of wide front moving through up there. A little bit of puffiness behind. Some unsettledness in the atmosphere, so we could probably expect to see a thunder shower later today. This is quite a lovely morning, though. I did get my mowing done yesterday, at least part of it. I need to do the front yard, probably Monday morning, tomorrow morning. Get that caught up so that it doesn't look shaggy. Should be good. Good morning. Good morning. Cute little puppy dog. Not on his leash. And here we are. At the back gate. One more day. The sprinkler that wasn't working is now working again. I didn't do anything, so I don't know quite why. But that corner of the lawn is greening up, so that's good. And the rest of the lawn actually looking a little bit better. We've had apparently better luck with sprinkler. But I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I'll talk to you then.